Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast, and thanks for joining us for this episode. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy this content, please don't hesitate to leave us a five-star review and share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to extend an invitation to you and your family to join us for worship this week at Grace Baptist Church. We'd also love to connect with you online at graceketering.org. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the episode.
Acts chapter number 27, and that's where we're going to be today. It's going to be a wonderful study over the turbulent seas, over the Adriatic Sea, the Mediterranean Sea. It's going to be a wonderful time in the Word of God as we track Paul on his trip from Caesarea all the way to Rome, and we're going to enjoy this together. Acts chapter number 27. Now, I'm going to have you standing for a little bit because we have a bit of a passage to read, but we want to give priority to the Word of God. And so if you don't have a Bible in front of you, maybe find it in a nap or share it with someone next to you. They'll be happy to do that. Acts 27 and verse number 13. You all there? All right. Let's read together. I'll read, you follow along. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. That's an island. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Now, let's just say that for the fun of it, Euroclydon. All right, one more time, Euroclydon. It kind of sounds a little bit ominous, but it is. It's an awful storm. And verse number 15, and when the ship was caught and could not bear into the wind, we let her drive, and running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken it up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, or pulled down the sails, and so were driven. And being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when there neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst and said, let's read this together. Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. It's almost like a little bit of an I told you so. But he was, that was the last of it right there. That was the last of it. And verse number 22, and now I exhort you to be a good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, that's the Adriatic Sea, and about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country and sounded, and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, they were about to abandon ship, unthinkable, they should not have been doing that. They were about to abandon the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color or under pretense, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut the rope of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting and have taken nothing." Can you remember the last time you fasted 14 days? Anyone here? Right? Maybe a person or two? All right, 14 days. That's pretty incredible, right? Right there. And so they've taken nothing. Verse 34, "Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not any hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 260 souls, 276. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea, cast out their cargo. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but discovered a certain creek with a shore into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. Storm still going on. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they should swim. Which could swim should cast themselves into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, and some on broken pieces of ship. Let's read the last sentence together. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Wow, what a story! Help us to gather some truths from this that would be encouraging to our walks with him today. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us such a detailed account of what happened there. It's a miracle that Paul and those 275 others made it to land. Lord, that's something you did. And you've placed this in Scripture even as a memorial to us today, just reminding us that you are more powerful than the waves of the sea, than the storms that come into our lives. Lord, sometimes you calm the storm, and other times you calm our hearts in the storm. Lord, I pray that no matter what storms folks are going through today, that you would strengthen us, that you would calm our hearts, whether or not you calm the storm around us. And that we know that you are God, and that we can believe you, and we can trust you to bring us through the storm. And Lord, we also think about the day that we step onto heaven's shore, the ultimate coming home safe. Lord, we look forward to the day that we will spend eternity with you. So Lord, I pray that while we have seas to traverse and storms to go through, Lord, I pray that we keep our eyes on you just like the Apostle Paul, that you'd strengthen us to go through this week and to honor you in everything we say and do in front of the lost around us. And we ask, Lord, that you continue to meet with us today. Meet with the children as they are in their children's class this morning. Would you just especially touch that meeting? Lord, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So what a wonderful story. I don't know if you like details and get into it, but as you read through that, you realize that you have a doctor who is very, very meticulous about details. I don't know about you, I like meticulous doctors. Doctors that are all about the details. Luke was a medical doctor. Luke is the human penman of the book of Acts, and he is along on this journey along with some others that are there with Paul and encouraging. Aristarchus is there, and they're encouraging Paul on this journey. But Luke, we find here, is right in the mix. He's right a part of this journey, and he's even a part of taking care of the ship and the needs of the ship, even a part of hoisting the boat as they are moving through this storm. Can you remember the last time you were in a storm and you had a thought, I wonder if I'll get out of this? I know, certainly, I've already mentioned back in 2019, the tornado that came through. I know there were some people that wondered if they were going to get out of that alive. Back in our neighborhood over by the Fairfield Mall, there was a home. As we went back through there that day after the tornado had come through that night, what was it? I can't remember. Was it a Sunday night? I think it was a Sunday night. And so it was Memorial Day, right? Anyway, we went back through that neighborhood, and I saw one house in particular where everything was, it was scraped clean except the bathroom in which they were held up, in which they were bunkering down. They didn't have a basement. It was scraped clean except that. You have no doubt that as they were sitting there that evening, that night, that they were wondering, am I going to get through? Am I going to get to the other side of this storm? You know, sometimes we go through physical storms and we wonder about our safety. We wonder about, hey, am I going to get to the other side? Am I going to live to tell about this? There's other types of storms and emotional, spiritual, mental storms, things that we struggle with in life, and we very much wonder, am I going to get to the other side of this? Will I ever see daybreak? Will I ever see the sun come up? Will I ever get a smile back again? And I just want us to realize this morning that the Bible gives us this story, this storm that Paul went through, but it has great application to our lives on a daily basis, whether it's a physical storm, whether it's a spiritual storm, but all types of storms, it has great application to what you and I go through. We're all going through burdens. We're all going through struggles. I was talking with a neighbor just this week. A couple of my neighbors have gone through some really difficult times over the past week, and it's amazing. We were talking yesterday evening about just the burdens that are on us and burdens on many in society. No doubt you have burdens on your heart today. Perhaps you're in the middle of a storm. Perhaps you've come out of a storm. But friends, I do want us to know without a shadow of a doubt, none of us are exempt from going into storms. And your storm might start this week, or maybe you're in the middle and it feels like 14 days. It feels like a long time. Can you imagine being in the middle of a storm 14 days and the sun isn't there, you're not seeing the stars, you're not seeing the moon? Can you imagine that? You're not eating. What a difficult time this was for the Apostle Paul. Now, when we come into storms, very rarely do we feel totally equipped to weather that storm. They're just in a large boat, a ship of Alexandria. They're in a large boat, but friends, compared to the waves that were tossing them, it was nothing. It was destructible. It was not impenetrable. It was certainly a destructible vessel, a wood vessel. And so sometimes we don't feel like, boy, I have it all together. I have what it takes to get through this storm. And many times our first thought as we get into a storm is, how can I get out of it? How can I get out of it? Lord, just get me out of this thing. Just help it to stop. And that's what the disciples did on the Sea of Galilee many times. We just wanted to stop. Well, friends, like I prayed, sometimes God does calm the storm. Sometimes he just calms our heart in the middle of the storm. And we're going to see that with the life of the Apostle Paul. You might want your storm to stop. You might want to just get to the other side. And certainly that day's coming. There was a day the storm ended for the Apostle Paul and those 275 others. But God is more concerned about your heart and you in the middle of the storm. Sometimes you're just concerned, I just want to get out of it. God is concerned with giving you a lesson and drawing you close in the middle of that storm. Can you all identify with having been through a storm of some sort? Physical, financial, emotional, mental, right? Friends, God has something for you in that storm. He isn't allowing you to go through that by accident. You say, I need to be done with this. And maybe even had some ultimatums with God. And you've given him some of those. Friends, I encourage you to pause, take a deep breath, realize God is not gone. We're going to see how fantastic God's presence is all the way through this storm. I want us to realize in the life of the Apostle Paul, he demonstrated an attitude that you and I ought to embrace in the storms that we face. We ought to imitate. We ought to say, I want, Lord, help me to be like the Apostle Paul as he went through this. Notice, first of all, the fury of the storm. This wasn't a small storm. This wasn't just a spring shower that brings May flowers, all right? It was a serious storm. Notice the violence of the storm in verses 13 through 14. It says there, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had attained their purpose, and then it gets into verse 14, a tempestuous wind suddenly arises, right? It suddenly, and we have this wonderful word called Euroclodon. Say it again with me, Euroclodon, all right? So it is a specific storm that they're referencing here. We understand exactly what the storm was. But I want us to notice how that oftentimes these storms that come up, the Euroclodons that come up in your life and in mine, often come up when everything seems to be going okay. Do you remember the last time we were together, how that Paul said, it's a dangerous time to travel. It's after November 11th. It's a dangerous time to travel. No one travels in the right mind. We shouldn't be traveling either. And they said, yes, we need to get to Phoenix. We need to get 40 miles over. We just need to take a little bit of a jog. It's nothing. We're experienced shipmen. It's nothing. And so they decided they're going to go on their way. They're going to sail. Give me the map here, guys. They're going to sail just 40 miles from Crete, from the Fair Havens there, all the way over to on Phoenix, just 40 miles. And we're going to be by land. We'll be really close to land. It's a really comfortable voyage. It's not much at all. We'll get there just fine. Have you noticed how storms come out of nowhere? One phone call, one text, right? You walk into work, everything's supposed to go well, and it falls apart. Have you noticed that? How suddenly some storms come up in our lives. And we say, where did that come from? Right? Those storms come up, just like here, in sudden moments when everything seems to be going okay. And sometimes, friends, when we're even priding ourselves that it's going okay. And that's when God allows some things to come into our lives. Now remember, Paul had said, hey, let's not go. They had said, let's go. They valued the cargo over the people, and they said, let's go. And they thought everything's good. Realize this world, that when the life is going good, they pride themselves on it, and then suddenly storms come into their lives. But that happens in our lives too. We say, man, everything's just going great. Everything's going wonderful. Hey, God is so good. And then he allows a storm, and then our tune changes a little bit. It's amazing how this was going on in their lives. And so this tempestuous storm, a typhoon-like storm, arose. The picture I showed you a moment ago of the Euroclodon, or the storm, was taken back in 2016. And this was a storm that they observed. It was very unusual over the Mediterranean Sea. And I just want us to realize that these storms still happen today over there. Euroclodon means a nor'easter, so the wind comes from the north and east, and so it was a very violent storm. So we have winds that are coming from the south, a southern wind softly blowing. You can almost think of them sitting out the deck of the ship drinking lemonades and enjoying their time. Boy, this is the life. This is great time. It's softly blowing. What a wonderful, this is perfect. And then it all changes. And so this Euroclodon blows up very, very quickly, and storms often came by surprise on the Mediterranean Sea. I think about David back in 1 Samuel chapter number 30. He's just been told by the Philistines, hey, you're not going to go out to battle with us. We're afraid, some of the men are afraid that you're going to turn on us in fighting your own countrymen. This is when he was running from Saul, and he was just frustrated about what was going on there in the kingdom. And so he goes back and he comes to Ziklag. Do you remember Ziklag? He comes to Ziklag and he's looking forward to just seeing his wife and his children, and all the men were as well. But as they came, there was smoke that was rising from Ziklag, and in an instant everything changed. It's I'm coming home and everything changes. Everything kind of falls down. All my expectations fall down. And here we have David coming up on Ziklag, and the Bible says they came and they realized that all their family, their wives and their children, had been taken captive. They didn't know this at that point, but the Amalekites had done this, and they had burnt the city of Ziklag that was given to David with fire, and it was smoldering. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 13, verse 4, and David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept. until they had no more power to weep. Until they had no more power to weep. And friends, there's times we come into a violent storm in our lives where it pulls every last tear out of our eyes. And we struggle. And that was David. Here they are on the Mediterranean Sea in a very violent storm, but notice the vulnerability of the ship. You remember what they said about the Titanic? You remember? Even God can't sink this thing. Bad thing to say. Bad thing to say. Man. But this ship wasn't like the Titanic. This ship was a wooden vessel. It was no match for the Euroclodon that was blowing up against them. And it says they were caught in literally the wind that was blowing south. The wind started blowing from the north and east. And it just stopped the boat in the water. They couldn't continue to go forward. They couldn't continue onto their journey. They were trying to sail west and they couldn't. It just stopped it. The word caught is the idea to seize it. They were just stopped. That's what sometimes storms do. They just seize us. They stop us. We fall down. We're just caught in it. And here they were caught in this storm. Think about it. This boat, as a wooden vessel, was no match and was quite a dangerous thing to be in the middle of the Mediterranean. This ship from Alexandria, this ship from Egypt. And so there they were. They're caught. And so vulnerable in the midst of all those waves, I want us to realize that as they sailed under Clauda, which is an island you can hardly see on this map, but I've given you a point of reference if you guys can give that to me. Clauda there, it was 23 miles from the Fair Havens. So they were trying to go west. Now it's blowing them south and a little bit west. And so they're trying and they're not getting anywhere. And so they are sailing under this island. Well, on the south side of the island, the waters get a little bit less choppy because the land mass is cutting up the wind or stopping the wind a little bit. So the waters were a little bit less choppy there. And that's where they decide this boat that they're taking in tow, this lifeboat that they're towing behind them. Luke says, we had much work to get it up, to take it up out of the sea and get it onto the main boat. And so they're working. They're probably having to bail water out of this thing, and they're working really hard. And then the Bible says that they undergird the ship. The undergirding was something that they would put ropes all the way around. This is an old, old picture back from the 1600s, from a boat in Egypt. It was a drawing of what it would look like. So you have all these ropes that are going under the ship. And most of the time, they would do it towards the front of the ship. They would wrap it around about four or five times to undergird and keep the ship from separating, the planks from separating and allowing water to get in and so on. So this was quite a project. Now, can you imagine that? I don't know whether they're having to dive under the thing or they're throwing the ropes out in front and going over it and pulling up. But no doubt, in the middle of a storm, securing the ship was quite a feat. So Luke's just saying, we were doing a lot of work. And remember, they're under on the southern side of Clauda, where there's a little bit less choppiness in the waters as they travel. So they're trying to protect themselves. They're out in the open sea. They're trying to do their best to save themselves. And what a challenge this was. But the ship was vulnerable. They knew that. They're also worried that they were going to get blown as they were on course here. Coming down by Clauda, the south side, they're on course to go over to this quicksands of Sirtis, where they would get caught up on some sandbars that were down there. And so they're worried about that. I also marvel at the fact that they had their bearings about them at all in the midst of the storm. That's pretty amazing, just as far as the, not technology, but their ability, their knowledge of the sea. But they're worried that they're going to get blown straight down there. And so they finally decide, you know what? We're going to strike the sail, we're going to take down the sail, and we're just going to let the wind blow us. And that's what they do. And so out there below Clauda, they strike the sail, and they just become borne along by the water and the winds. They're borne along. They're at the mercy of the sea. Have you ever been in a situation where you feel like you're at the mercy of the situation? You have no control. Most of us like to be in control. Don't you? I do. And when you have to say, I don't I don't have any way of controlling the outcome of this situation. And here they were at the mercy of the sea. Day after day, the tempest raged, and there's no appetite. They've lost their appetite. When you go through a trial, when you go through a storm, sometimes it's the appetite that goes. And certainly it was for them. And no doubt, they probably, with all the bumpiness, wouldn't have been able to keep much down either. But the reality was they were losing appetite. Their hope was gone. In fact, the Bible says all hope of being saved was lost. They did not know if they'd survive this. 276 people out on the Mediterranean Sea, moving into the Adriatic Sea, and they are completely hopeless. When hope goes, we're in really bad straits. We're in really bad condition. What a struggle. Have you been there where you felt totally hopeless? You felt like, I don't know if I'm going to get out of this. I don't know if I'm going to get to the other side of this. And realize, friends, no one is exempt from going through times like these. You might have money. You might have position. You might have family. But none of us are exempt from storms that bring us to the point of hopelessness. The disciples were in the boat with Jesus, with the creator of the universe. And the Bible says in Mark 4 and verse number 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They had lost all hope that they were going to be able to survive the storm. They wake up the master who's back there sleeping. Hey, don't you care that we're perishing? We're dying here. We're not going to survive. None of us are exempt from that. And friends, even as believers with Jesus Christ in your life, sometimes people have this idea that if I become a Christian, everything's going to go really well. No, the reality is you just now have Jesus in your boat to go with you. And he will be there. He's promised his presence. He will be there in the midst of the storm. The storms will still come. And a storm may come for you this week. Are you ready for it? Are you ready to go through it with the spirit of the Apostle Paul? In the fury of the storm, Paul kept a good focus. Look at verse number 21. After long abstinence, he stood for, and we already talked about this, he said, listen, I told you so. I don't think Paul did it with a nasty attitude, but he was affirming the reality. I told you so, and I do want us to catch something very, very important here. Some of the storms that you and I will go through are indeed the result of someone else's decision or action. And those are very hard to go through with a good spirit. Aren't they? Can you think of one right now? I am enduring this because of her. I'm enduring this because of him. And many times in those moments, it's when we are tempted to get focused on the person who's caused it, or so we think. We forget that God allows things in our lives. We get focused on the person who might have caused it or might be to blame, and we get bitter. We get bitter. Well, they did this to me. They made this happen. If they had only made the right decision there, this would have never happened. If my parents had only done this, this would have never happened. Friends, what God wants you to do in the middle of the storm is do exactly what Paul did and get focused on your God. And if you get focused on your God in the middle of the storm, you will not get bitter. You will get better. That's not just a clever play on words. That's the reality. Your life will be the better if you get focused on him. You'll be able to get through the storm. You'll be able to get through it with a good spirit. You'll be able to get through it and still be able to witness. You'll be able to get through it and still have a testimony. And so sometimes these storms that are brought about are the decisions of other people, but ultimately, God is the one who allows the storm. And we must keep that focus. So let's see what Paul did. He focused on his relationship with God. Verse number 22, I exhort you, be of good cheer. Why in the world would Paul say that? How could he say that? How could Paul say in the middle of a storm, in the middle of your rock let on, in the middle of a hurricane? I just wonder, has anyone been through a hurricane here? Raise your hand. Typhoon? Typhoon? They're not fun to go through, right? No? In the middle of it, Paul is a human. He does not have foreknowledge.
Paul, as a human, stands up and says, be of good cheer, y'all. None of you are going to be lost. Now, how in the world does Paul get off saying that? How is he able to have such confidence in the middle of a storm if it weren't for the fact that he had been focusing on his God? And not just focusing on his God, but listening to his word, and we'll get to that in a moment. But I want us to realize what Paul says here is very, very important. Notice verse 23. He says, there stood by me this night an angel of God. Angels in the scriptures, according to Hebrews 1 and verse number 4, are ministering spirits. God uses them to minister to his own. So you wonder, are there angels? Do we have guardian angels? Yes. Yes. And praise God. Praise God. Got to visit Josh, and many of you have been praying this week for Brother Josh. On Friday night, there were a host of guardian angels around him. He had that four-wheeler accident and broke his neck in several places. He has broken vertebrae, and he's in quite a condition, and you keep praying for him. But we talked about this when we prayed with him about the guardian angels. God's protective hand. Now, God allows us to go through some storms like that. And they're difficult. And you better believe they're going through a storm. I see Brother Jack Grubb here this morning. He's been through a storm, right? Storms. Physical. Boy, I'll tell you, they do affect us spiritually. They really do. Guardian angels. Now, your physical safety is not the only safety that God's concerned with. He is ultimately concerned that you come safe home to heaven with him. But he's also interested in your spiritual well-being, your spiritual health. I'm thankful that God does put around us some guardian angels, and he protects us. And you say, where do you get that? I was reading along in the book of Matthew 18 and verse number 10, and this hit me really, really, really good. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. Jesus is talking about children. Don't despise them, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels, not angel, angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. I have children. I'm really grateful for that verse. I'm very grateful that God says that my children have guardian angels. You can't always be with your children. Sometimes the world we live in, there is things that are threatening their souls, them physically. We hear about it on the news. I'm thankful for guardian angels. That doesn't mean that we leave it up to them. But it does mean that God is concerned with the protection of our children. But I'm thankful that that doesn't stop. I'm thankful we're all children of God, and I am thankful for the guardian angels. And here one stands by Paul. One stands by Paul. And he talks to him, and he says, Paul, I want you to know none of these are going to be lost. But notice what Paul says in response to this. He could have just gone on and said what the angel said, gave this message from the Lord. But Paul inserts some physical or some personal qualifiers here. Here's what these ungodly individuals, these criminals, these Roman soldiers need to know about Paul. He says, I, whose I am, and speaking of God, he simply says, to all these that were there on the ship, I belong to God. I want you to know this, I belong to God. I'm standing here telling you to be of good cheer. I belong to God. I'm not my own. The Bible says we're bought with a price. Your body is not your own. Your life is not your own. That's one of the issues that we get caught up in as believers, is we start thinking, hey, this is my life. I'll run it the way I want. No, God will bring a storm into your life to prove that it's not your life. It does not belong to you. Give it to God. That's what Romans 12:1 is all about. Give your life a living sacrifice back to God. So he says, I belong to God. What an incredible statement in the middle of a storm. The waves are crashing, friends. And he is saying in that moment, I belong to God. And what a cheer that brings to our hearts when I remember, I belong to God. In the midst of this sea, in the midst of this storm, I belong to God. God cares about me. And if I belong to God, then I can trust him to take care of me. Do you trust God to take care of you? Do you rest in the fact I'm a child of the King? I'm an object of his love. He died for me. He gave his life for me. I belong to God. And that's what Paul said. But he didn't stop there. He says, I am a servant of God. I want you to know that I firmly identify as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not a servant of Caesar. I'm not a servant of the centurion. I'm not my own boss. I belong to God and I serve him. Paul continued to identify with what Christ had already commissioned him to do on the road to Damascus. He says, I have set you aside, Paul, as a witness and a minister. Paul gives testimony to that in chapter 26. He says, I'm a minister, I'm a servant. When Paul opens up the book of Romans, he says, Paul, the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here he again is saying, not to a hungry Christian audience, put to an ungodly audience, I am a servant of God. What happens if you and I would go into work or in front of the lost around us and just boldly declare, I belong to God and I serve him alone? How would that change the relationships around you? What testimony would that give if we were so bold in front of the lost world around us to say, I belong to God and I am a servant of God? I don't serve money. I don't serve houses. I don't serve cars. I don't serve sports. I don't serve TV shows. I don't serve my own wants and my own lusts. I serve the living God. Well, we need to be at that point. These are powerful statements in the middle of a storm. There's a lot of things we could talk about in the middle of a storm. But here Paul is focusing on his relationship with God. And friends, what God is more interested in is not just getting you out of the storm or through the storm. He is interested in you. He's interested in you. And your storm might come up because someone else did something. Your storm might come up because of something you did. Or your storm might just come up because God allowed it, like Job. Friends, no matter what the storm is, God is interested in your heart. He's interested in your relationship with him. And if in the middle of the storm, you're wondering, well, does God really love me? Has God forgotten about me? Friends, it indicates there's a need inside of your relationship with God. There's a need to remember God doesn't forget his own. God doesn't just cut rope and let his own go. That's not our God. That's not the type of God that we serve. He is a very present help in trouble. A very present help. He's a fortress for us. And what a good God that we serve. And he says, I am a servant of God. Was it easy for Paul to identify there? Well, it's the great apostle Paul. Certainly it was easy for him to identify with Jesus Christ there. I mean, no sweat. He was always bold. No, actually, Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 actually asked the Ephesian believers to pray that he would take the doors of utterance and that he would actually speak as he ought to speak. Paul wasn't always confident that he would say the right thing. And friends, I want to encourage you that it may not be easy to identify as a follower of Jesus Christ. It may not be easy to identify as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's always right to. 273 other individuals on that ship, we don't know that they were believers. There were three on the ship we know to be believers. What odds? What odds? And yet Paul says, I belong to God, and I'm a servant of God. You might be out of place at your workplace. There may not be one other person that knows Jesus Christ. You might be out of place in your family. There might not be one other family member that knows Jesus Christ and has a relationship with him. But friends, how I encourage you, even this Memorial Day weekend, when you're gathering together with others, to be bold. I belong to Jesus. And I'm happy about that. I serve the living God. And I love that. It's not a drudgery. It's something that I enjoy doing. So in the middle of your storms, God is interested in your personal relationship with him. He wants your heart, friend. He wants your heart. That's what he's after. He wants your heart. Give him your heart. Do you know your God personally? In the middle of the storms, can you be like David? And I want you to turn to Psalm 71 in verse number 1 through 4. And I hope that you'll remember these verses of Scripture. Psalm chapter number 71 in verse number 1. Psalm 71:1. And I'm going to have you look on. So I want everyone to turn there with me. Psalm 71 in verse number 1. And we want to enjoy these verses together. Psalm 71 in verse number 1. David, in the middle of running from his enemies, he's struggling, he's going through a storm, as David often is going through storms, and many of his psalms come out of those storms. Psalm 71, verse 1. Say amen if you're there. Amen. All right. Good. Notice, in thee, O Lord. What's unique about Lord there? Again, I ask you this all the time. It's all caps. There's our Lord Jehovah, the self-existent one. Do I put my trust? Let me never be put to confusion. Let me never be wondering, Lord, what's going on? Should I follow after God? No, Lord, don't let me be put to confusion, he says. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Those are good prayers. Lord, I need your deliverance. I need you to be here in the middle of my storm. But here, let's read verse number 3. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. I want to continue to run back to you. Thou hast given me a commandment to save me. Thou hast given commandment to save me. Your word is, you've promised that I'm going to get through. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to read this out loud with me. For thou art my rock and, all right, let's look at that again. My rock and my fortress. David did not say, friends, I hear this from believers a lot of times. David did not say he is the rock and the fortress. He said, for thou art my rock and my fortress. There is a big difference. And what God is shooting for in the middle of your storm is to get it from the being just the rock and the fortress to my rock and my fortress, a personal experience with him. Friends, have you been through a storm where it's changed from just being the God who I hear others talk about cares for me to being my God who cares for me? The God who others find refuge in or to being my refuge? We can say Psalm 46 and verse number 1, God is a very present help in trouble, or is he my present help in trouble? Have you experienced that? God wants you to have a personal experience with him, not just theoretical, not just informational, not just academic. He wants a personal relationship with you. Let's read on. Verse number 4. Read it out loud with me, good and loud. Verse number 4, deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked and out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. My God. My God. We talk about teenagers and children adopting the faith and it becoming their God, not just their parents' God. But friends, there are many adult Christians that walk around and they don't have a personal relationship with God, and they get into the storm and God is as distant to them in their experience as sometimes even the lost. They have not made the connection. He's mine. He's mine. He cares about me and I belong to him, my God. So this is very, very important. God is interested in you, in your heart. And if I counsel people in the middle of storms, oftentimes my counsel to them is just that. God wants your heart. God wants to know you. He's not interested in just shutting the waves off. He's not interested in just turning off the lightning. He can do that. Can't he? But he wants you. He wants you. And Paul's already in that position. Paul's not having to be forced into that position by the storm. He's already there. He's already declaring, I belong to him and I serve him. He's mine. I have a personal relationship with him. And that's why Paul could stand up and say, be of good cheer, everyone, because what God said, I believe because I belong to him. He's my God. I have a personal experience with him. And what he says, he will do. But notice also that Paul focused on the revelation of God, and we find that from the angel. We find that he gave him very specific statements in verse number 24. Fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. No other man could say that, but God could. And God could say that with promise. And God hath given thee all them that sail with thee in verse number 24. So you're going to stand before Caesar, and everyone that's on this boat, they're going to live. Now the boat, it isn't going to do so well. It's going to eventually rot on the seashore of Malta. But you're going to survive. And what does Paul say here? Now, we all can read the Bible. We can all say, well, yeah, that's God's word. And that's what Paul just has declared here. Here's what the angel said from God. But the very next verse, in verse number 25, it's where it really gets real for us. And when Paul says, I believe God, even as it was told unto me, it's not just words I read in the pages of Scripture, but I personally believe in it and accept it. There's a big difference. And God not only wants your heart in the middle of the storm, but he also wants you to be at the place where you believe his word despite the fact the storm is still going on. That's hard, isn't it? It is. Because sometimes we think, well, if I believe his word and it doesn't come true, then I'm going to look like a fool. No, friends, Paul stood to look humanly like a fool here. But he sided with God, who he knew personally. And friends, it'll be very hard for you to stand up in front of a lost world and say, I believe God, if you don't have personal experiences with him. God wants that with you. Our churches are full of people who do not have personal experiences with God. They hear a pastor talk about it. They hear a deacon. They hear a Sunday school teacher talk about personal experiences with God. You need to have that. And it's not because God doesn't want that with you. Oftentimes we've weathered storms and we've fought against it and we didn't learn the lesson. We got to the end of the storm, but we didn't come out knowing our God better. Friends, God's going to keep bringing you into storms. And I should just sidebar and say, just because you're going through a storm doesn't always mean that God's chastening you. Sometimes he's just trying to strengthen you. Just like with Job, right? Job was a man that feared God, did the right thing, but God brought him through a storm. So this matter of focusing on the revelation of God is so very important as well. Now, Paul had been holding on this promise, I'm going to go preach the gospel to Caesar. You're all going to live. Boy, that must have been reassuring. This man who was a prisoner standing up like a Joseph in prison saying, hey, you're all going to live. The ship, not so much, but you're going to all live. I believe. And 14 days and there are still the waves are beating and the sun isn't shining. The moon isn't shining. The stars aren't visible. They're having trouble getting their coordinates because of the stars and so on. And so this is all going on. But yet Paul in the midst of that saying, I believe God. I believe God. Friends, we need in our country, we need in our churches, believers who are standing up. While other people are doubting, they need to be standing up and saying, I believe God. I believe what he said. I believe his truth is still truth. I believe it's absolute. I believe God. And I invite you to be one of those individuals. In this assembly, I invite you to be a person who has a personal experience with God and can say, when others are saying, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to get through this thing. I don't know if we're going to get through this trial. I believe God. There is plenty of people who will stand up and be a doubter, like Thomas. But we need, even in this assembly, we need men and women who will say, I believe God. You need to be that in your family. I believe God. Wives, you need to be that in your family. Husbands, you need to be that in your family. Grandparents, you need to be that in your family. I believe God. Well, that's just an archaic book written by man. That's why you need to go through discipleship so you realize that that's not the case. Listen, there's so many that are doubting and naysaying. We need a generation of people who say, I believe God. I can still remember having to give a speech in college. I forget exactly what it was. I should go back in my notes and look it up, but I did it. I did an interpretive speech on this passage, and I can still remember saying that exact phrase, I believe God. What a powerful statement. Don't lose that, friends. He's in the middle of the storm. I believe God. Don't you want that type of walk with God? Don't you want that type of relationship with God? It's not inaccessible from us. God's put the story in Scripture, and we certainly do well to heed it. So they're going along, and they start to sense that they're getting close to land, still dark. And so they sound, or they measure, the depth of the water. They use these fathoms. And fathoms are about 6 feet each. And so we have about 90 to 120 feet. So they start out at 120 feet. They find it 90 as they're going along. And they realize they need to drop all four anchors. And so they drop them. because it's night out and they can't see where they're going, they're going to strike land, and they want to be able to see it at least, that they're going to strike land, okay? And so they sound it, and they're moving closer to the land. And I just want us to realize, in the middle of this and this moment, out in the Adriatic Sea, let's catch the picture again. They're out about where that star is, somewhere in there, that white star. They're out in the middle of this sea. It's still tempestuous. The Euroclydon is still going on. And yet Paul is saying, I believe God. And may we have that same spirit. Notice the fury of the storm, Paul's focus, but also God's faithfulness in the storm. And we're going to wrap it with this. God's faithfulness through the storm. Not just in the storm, but through the storm. God gave peace in the middle of the storm. We find in verse number 30 that there are shipmen that are about ready to flee. And Paul says, hey, you can't do that. If you do that, we're not going to be able to be saved. They're the experts. They need to be on sea, on the boat, and they need to continue to be with it. It's not right for the shipmen to abandon the ship. I think we heard about several years back, cruise liner, where the captain decided that, you know, he was going to abandon. Not a good day. I mean, that's you're supposed to stay with your boat. Well, these guys were trying to do the same thing. The storms had stolen their appetite, and Paul stands up and he says, hey, everyone, not a hair is going to be lost. It's not just your life isn't going to be lost, but not a hair from your head's going to be lost. That's pretty specific. Do you track your hairs? God said, listen, they're going to be completely intact. They're going to be completely intact. He says, I want to encourage you all to take eat. How many of you like to eat when you're full of anxiety? How many of you like to eat when you're still bobbing? They say before you go swimming, right, you're supposed to wait 20 minutes is what we tell our children. Right, there's a good reason for that. We want the food to stay down. Paul says, listen, it's going to all be okay. The angel that came from God told me it's all going to be okay. You're not going to lose a hair. You're going to be okay. It's time to eat, friends. And so he breaks bread. And I want us to realize Paul thanks God for that food in the presence of the ungodly. And there's ever a good illustration of praying and giving thanks for your food at work or in the restaurant in the presence of an unsaved world, it's right here. Think about the odds. No one around him is saved except his Luke and Aristarchus. And here he is. He's thanking God. And he's publicly thanking God. I just want to encourage you, don't give up on praying. Don't give up on thanking God for your food and blessing him and thanking him for his provision. Here Paul does that. And I want us to realize that this gratitude flowed from a heart that was at peace in the midst of a storm. There's no explanation for inviting people to eat and thanking God and having a heart of gratitude, except for the fact that Paul was at peace with God. God has this. What he said is as good as true. He's going to bring me through. He's going to bring me through the storm. I can trust him. God has me, and I can eat. And friends, it's a pretty powerful statement when you and I are so at peace that we can eat. We can take nourishment in the middle of our storms. We can say, I can put my worries and fears aside because God has this. And Paul did exactly that, and he led the others to do that. In fact, I find that Paul's peace brought other people peace. When you're truly at peace with Jesus Christ, when you're at peace with your God, you have the ability to affect and impact the lives of others and bring them into a place of peace. Now, I don't know how many of these people came to know Jesus Christ as Savior. I'm sure they heard it multiple times on the ride, but the reality is, Paul was able to help them come to a place of peace. He was a peacemaker here on this ship. You can't fake peace in the middle of a storm. It has to be genuine. Jesus said, in the world you're going to have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so here he is, experiencing peace and helping others experience peace. Do you know that? Say, Pastor, I'm an honest man. I go through storms and I am anything but peaceful. What I see in Paul's life is not my experience. Friends, John 16:33, what Jesus said, he has peace that he's given to you. It's available to you. It's not just for Paul's. It's available for you. Would you accept that? Would you walk in that? Would you experience that? But God didn't just give peace, he gave protection through the storm. And really I want to just focus on the last statement of this passage of Scripture, verse number 44. Look at it again with me. Verse number 44, let's read that last phrase again. And so it came to pass that they all escaped. They escaped all safe to land. Let's read it together. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. God brought them to Malta. God brought them there. He brought them safely. Paul had started at Caesarea. They were supposed to go around the coast. They were supposed to get to Phoenix. And they were supposed to spend the winter there from November, after November 11th, after the fast, the Day of Atonement fast, all the way to probably sometime in March. So a fair amount of time. They were supposed to be there in Phoenix. It was all supposed to go well, and they were supposed to get their grain and the soldiers all up to Rome and be all good. But no, that's not how it worked. They got this storm, and you know what? God gave them protection all the way through. It seemed difficult. They wondered at times. They lost hope. But they brought them all the way through. It seems Linsky and helps with a man that wrote specifically, did a dissertation on the storm of Paul. And it was fantastic reading and very enjoyable. But they wrote that they probably traveled somewhere around a mile and a half per hour, 36 per day, which brought them 480 miles in 13 days to the island of Malta. So they were supposed to just go 40 to Phoenix, but they actually ended up going through the Adriatic Sea 480 miles, just being bobbed along by the wind, moved along. Now here's what's fascinating to me. They could have gone down to the quicksands. They could have gone many directions south with this nor'eastern. How is it that God brought them from Crete all the way over to Malta, this little island in the middle of the sea, and had them land there, and we'll see that they were welcomed by the countrymen there, and they were able to winter there and spend time there. How is it? We say, well, I don't know if I'm going to get through the storm. Look at this. Do you see that path through the sea? Now, I don't know if it took exactly that shape, but there's some studies that were done with the winds and et cetera. That's what's believed. But regardless, they went across, they went west and hit this little island of Malta. How big is God? I saw that, and I don't know that I'd really made that connection. They went from Crete to Malta. God brought them over there. Their fear was, we're going to get driven down to Egypt and on the quicksands. No, God brought them across. They straked the sail, they put down the sail, and just were borne along. And you know what? The word driven is translated three times in the New Testament. Here, one other place, and also in 2 Peter 1:21. And the word that the Bible uses to say that holy men were borne along by the Holy Spirit of God to write the Bible that you have in your hand, that same word, to be moved along, is the word that Luke uses here to describe how that they were moved along through the sea all the way to Malta. I find that very fascinating, friends. We think, well, God's forgotten about me. And all this time, 14 days, darkness and loss of appetite, he's forgotten about me. No, he is not. He is perfectly able to get you from point A to point B. You might go around a little bit, but he's perfectly able. And our God did that for Paul and for those 275 others, and our God can still do that for us today. Amen. Question is, will we allow him to work his will in our lives even in the storms? I have two takeaways that I want us to consider. Storms often reveal in the life of a believer the true depth of our relationship with God. We see Paul here not having to catch up and get into the right frame of mind. Paul entered this storm in the right frame of mind. I belong to God, and I am a servant of God. Let me ask you a question. Are you in the right frame of mind if a storm should come tomorrow? If not, friends, that storm is going to reveal in our lives, it's going to reveal something about our relationship with God. And when God does, it's time to act on it. It's time to strengthen the relationship. It's time to give time to His Word. It's time to rest in His promises. It's time to go forward with that experience. Friends, storms are allowed into our lives, and they oftentimes reveal the true depth of our relationship with God. A.W. Tozer said, when the south winds blew softly, the ship carried Paul sailed smoothly enough, and no one on board knew who Paul was or how much strength of character lay hidden behind that rather plain exterior. But when the mighty tempest, Euroclydon, burst upon them, Paul's greatness was soon the talk of everyone on the ship. The Apostle Paul, though himself a prisoner, quite literally took command of the vessel, made decision, issued orders that meant life or death to people. And I think that the crisis brought to a head something in Paul that had not been clear even to him. Beautiful theory was quickly crystallized into hard fact when the tempest struck. What Paul was on the inside became very evident. His real relationship with God, the true depth of his character, became evident in the storms. Friends, many times in our life, I don't know if you just identify with me, sometimes my weakness of character is identified in the storms that God allows into my life. Can you identify with that? God, strengthen us. I need your strength. I want to be like Paul. I want to be ready for the storm. I want to be ready to say in front of the ungodly, in front of family members, I believe God, even when the storm's still tempestuous. Second thought. There are some things we can only learn inside the storms. You want a life of ease and the American dream. There are some things that only are learned inside the storm. And my encouragement to us today is do not resent the storms that God allows into our lives. That is hard, hard, hard to say. We get frustrated. Why, God? Why, God? Have you ever asked God that? Don't leave me standing here alone. Why? Why this long? Why? And as I've encouraged others recently, accept the storm. Accept the storm and let it draw you to the Father. Friends, that isn't always a pretty picture, is it? Because we go through a range of emotions in the middle of the storm, don't we? And sometimes we're like David and we're crying out, why have you forgotten me? Even our Savior on the cross, he did not sin. He did ask the question, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, sometimes we go through the storms and we wonder, where's God at? When you accept that he is still in control, he is still working to bring us from Crete to Malta. That fascinates me. God's able to do that. Might be longer than you want it to be, but he's able to do that. And there's some things that you will learn on that journey from Crete to Malta that you couldn't learn anywhere else. And the next time you'll be able to go into the storm saying, hey, that's my God and I belong to him. And I serve him alone. Yeah. May God help us with this. Is God speaking to some hearts today? Let's do something with this. I want us to pray before we leave. I want us to spend time. And I'm going to invite you here in a moment just to find a place to kneel, whether that's at your seat or somewhere. If you're physically able, kneel. Bow before your Creator. I don't know about you. I really long to have that same testimony. I belong to God. I am a servant of God in the middle of a storm. He's able to bring me to the other side safely. Man, what a good God we serve. Would you bow with me? And let's just take some time to pray. Can you say, I belong to Jesus? Can you say, I serve him, I'm his servant? Maybe there's a recent storm in your life and it revealed some things that you really didn't want revealed about your relationship with God. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? Just going to leave that sit, or you're going to just kind of procrastinate on that, kick that can down the road? You're going to do something with it. Like right now, it's time to allow God to strengthen you. It's time to embrace your God. It's a time to get to the place where you can say, I belong to him. Maybe you're in the middle of a storm, you haven't accepted it. You're fighting, you have a bad attitude in the middle of it, you're just struggling. You're resenting the storm. You're resenting the person that caused it. You're resenting God. Would you surrender to Him? Would you just tell your Heavenly Father, okay, enough is enough. I'm done fighting you. I submit to the storm. I accept it. And I want to learn every lesson you have planned for me in this storm. Maybe today you're at peace in the storm. Maybe you're truly at peace. You can identify with the Apostle Paul. There is someone in your life, in this body, who needs you to pray with them and you to be the one that helps get them to a place of peace. There's someone that needs a good word from you. Maybe this is the last service. They said, I'm going to go, and if I don't get something here today, I'm done. And they desperately need a kind word from you. Not a sarcastic word, a kind word from you. They desperately need you to say, I believe God's going to bring you through. Here's why I believe that. I'm going to pray and invite you to stand and find a place to pray. Father, you know what you're doing in hearts today. You know the storms that we're all facing or have been in or are going into. So we ask that your perfect will be done in our lives and that we respond to you in a way that would please you and that your will would be done here in this place as it is always done in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand to our feet and find places to pray. I invite you to come to the altar, the platform here, and find a place to kneel and pray. But I do encourage you to pray. You're not telling God when the storm needs to be over. You're just saying, I accept the storm.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To learn more about Grace Baptist or how to have eternal life, visit gracekettering.org. And remember, you are always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.